Welcome to the big interview on today's edition of Money Life. And joining me now, Brian Allen. He is Senior Vice President and Chief Investment Officer at C.S. McKee, which is an institutional money manager located in Pittsburgh, in case you are curious. And they are, among other things, the folks behind the North Square McKee Bond Fund. That is NMKBX. And if you're looking for more information on the fund and the firm, it is csmckee.com. Brian Allen, welcome to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. Pleasure to be here.
So we are in a really interesting time, especially when it comes to fixed income, because, well, everybody knows at this point the Fed is gonna cut rates. What they don't know is when, how much, how many times, and how the market's really going to respond. So as you set up for 2024, as we're nearing the end of January, what is your outlook for the rest of this year? I mean, the market seems to be pricing in 6 rate cuts, but I don't know anybody who thinks there's going to be 6 rate cuts.
Yeah, we count ourselves in that same group. Frankly, we expect to see 3, but more likely 4 cuts this year. One, I think the market, when you look at the 6 rate cut assumption, does not take into account the fact that the bond market has rallied quite a bit in the last few months. Stock prices have risen to all-time highs. Credit spreads have tightened. So financial conditions in general, the market's done a lot of the easing work to launch this easing campaign in 2024.
Okay, but does that mean that the hard work comes now? And what does the hard work look like?
Well, I think the hard work is just the Fed. And there's been quite a bit of talk over the last 6 months to a year about, will the Fed make the same mistakes that occurred in the 1970s with Arthur Burns tightening credit and then succumbing to pressure from President Nixon in a reelection campaign and cutting rates prematurely, thereby reigniting inflation? I don't think we're faced with the same sort of volatility of the inputs this time around than we did back then. But nonetheless, the Fed is going to wait and see and be satisfied that inflation is well under control. And on the surface, it looks like it's headed the right direction. But there are, much like the economy, there are components of inflation that are very well behaved, goods, core goods in particular. But the services side of the equation, inflation is still running north of 4%. Employment's very strong. Wages are strong. And counter to what we thought would show up last year, the consumer seems to be in good financial shape and very optimistic about the future.
At the same time, there are some signs that the consumer is weakening, and those signs are way out. You know, there you see problems with rising debt or rising debt levels before you see problems with rising delinquencies and defaults. Are you worried? Because we haven't seen it thus far, despite the rising rate cycle and despite the inflationary cycle, are you worried that a wave of defaults is coming?
Yeah, the increases are certainly showing up. On the consumer side, if you look at subprime autos, you start at the bottom, basically, and work your way up. There have been, I would call them almost material increases in delinquencies and defaults. But for those in somewhat better credit positions, credit card delinquencies have ticked up just to a very minor degree. Defaults have really not moved there. As much as we focused on how much of the stimulus from 2020 was spent by consumers, what they've enjoyed since then is a rising home price market. So home equity has certainly gone up. And the stock market has done very well. One of the things we're looking at recently is to the extent that consumer credit has gone up and in various forms, whether it's credit card or it's companies like Affirm that are offering, you know, buy now, pay later sort of arrangements. The concern is that, again, the consumer is stretching when it comes to credit card debt. But what's happened recently, and it's sort of the double-edged sword of low rates from the 2020 timeframe, is that we all had low mortgage rates. Those who refied, good 14 million people, homeowners refied at that time frame. So they've got permanent savings going forward, which helps. Now, I'm sure that is being spent as time goes on. But the one thing that's driving up credit card debt is the fact that there's been quite a bit of slowdown in home equity loan and second refis, basically, in mortgages. So to the extent they have value in their homes, it's tied up a bit. And for right now, it's just easier to borrow on the credit cards. And yeah, the consumer will certainly slow. They were a primary driver last year. We see GDP this year at 1.4%, and the big changes being government inputs will certainly be lower than years past, and the consumer as a result will be a little less prevalent. So a definite curtailment versus 2023.
So have you already started lengthening maturities, or when will you materially lengthen maturities? Because for all of the talk we've already had, we still have an inverted yield curve.
Yes, we lengthened maturities back at the end of October and November. And thankfully, we'll not proclaim ourselves geniuses at forecasting rates, but we're very much on the ball with that call in particular. Also, beneath the surface, the mortgage market was suffering quite a bit there, and that was one of the ways in which we did increase duration. Our concern right now, frankly, is that the bond market has come so far so fast, and to the extent we expect fewer rate cuts than the market is looking for, we're very close to fair value for right now. So we're back to a more neutral stance with respect to duration and waiting for and fairly close to resuming a somewhat more aggressive lengthening in duration program as the 10-year, as an example, gets to the sort of 415 to 420 yield area. And then we'll wait and see how the numbers play out with both inflation and on the demand side.
Times like this historically, and I'm old enough to have lived through a few times like this, tend to show up in ways that bond investors don't love. In other words, we tend to get more volatility, which is not what bond investors want. How much are you expecting the volatility picture to change in terms of, will this be that classic, okay, as we go through the rate cycle and we get to this point, things get a lot more bumpy, or because everything is so well telegraphed, do we get through this without a major increase in, you know, the buckle up factor?
Well, I think on the domestic front, things will be a little quieter than last year. I don't expect a replay of the banking situation we had in March, though the primary program put in place to deal with that will have to be renewed come this March. It was only good for 12 months. But frankly, geopolitical concerns are rising in terms of our fears, if you will, about what's going to cause a spike in volatility. China, obviously Taiwan, what's going on in Gaza and Israel. And then we have a dozen or more elections this year in countries of some economic importance to global growth. So whether the tide turns on those measures, frankly, we have a difficult time trying to discount that. The one thing we do like, though, frankly, and we don't shy away from this, our approach in fixed income and the way the bond fund itself has run, really, we are more aggressive in the government agency space than in credit. So to the extent that we're wrong on growth and stock market sells off a bit, typically corporate yield spreads will widen and underperform right along with stocks. That's not a good prescription, we think, for this year. And frankly, it doesn't make much sense for those who hold bonds. You want some measure of diversification. And to the extent that you're loaded up on corporates because the yields are so attractive, they tend to offer less by way of diversification. Again, they suffer when stocks suffer. So we're very heavily involved in the agency market. And as a result, the values, the types of securities you find there become quickly very attractive in periods of high volatility. So we actually welcome the occasional spike in volatility, creates a wonderful buying opportunity for us. And we had several of those last year.
Now, while I mentioned the North Square McKee Bond Fund, which you run, the firm also does equity stuff, and you are chief investment officer. So what is your overall outlook, your balance right now between stocks, bonds, and cash, et cetera? I mean, how are you picking an allocation overall in this market?
Yeah, we're fairly middle of the road when it comes to our current allocation. Most of our clients, and very institutionally focused, are about the 60-40 variety. Some are 65-35. Risk really depends on their level of funding. Our target allocation in equities is right down the middle at this point. We are 62% in equity, about 37%, most of the balance in fixed income, and a few 1 or 2% in cash. And within the equity markets, we like communication services, energy, healthcare, and our value product. And then more industrial focus in our core or more growth focused accounts.
And your general outlook there, given the market, because Lord knows the market having priced in 6 Fed rate cuts, we could see a lot of volatility if and when the market wakes up and recognizes that it ain't getting there.
Now, we actually think the stock market returns this year, and again, not to fall into that category of, you know, standard 8% target, we actually think will be marginally positive, not quite to near historic averages. One thing you can't, given the price of the market in PE terms right now, as of Monday this week, we are 22 times earnings, and that's well above where historically we should be given the level of rates and the forecast for growth this year. For stocks to do materially better than that, we're really going to have to see some margin improvement. And with wages growing, that certainly puts a crimp into margins. For those that are more goods-oriented, raw material prices are coming down. And to the extent they can maintain some pricing power on the corporate level and take advantage of the the improvement in profit margins due to falling input prices, that will help them. But it's going to take just more than, you can't ride the wave of growth to much higher earnings, because that's just not going to happen this year.
Well, Brian, this has been really interesting. I got more questions. I just don't have more time. But I appreciate you coming on the show for the first time, and I hope you'll come back and do this with me again down the line.
Thanks very much.
That's Brian Allen. He's Senior Vice President and Chief Investment Officer at C.S. McKee. Learn more about the firm at csmckee.com. He manages the North Square McKee Bond Fund, NMKBX, the ticker. Fund's now more than 3 years old, has a top Morningstar rating. Again, learn more at csmckee.com. And we will help you learn more about what's happening on Money Life when we come back after a quick break. Stick around.